This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig Zinn's Acura Pembroke Pines. Visit the number one volume Acura dealership in the Southeast United States 12 years in a row at 15601 Pines Boulevard in Pembroke Pines.
There he is, the man, the myth, the legend, that is Ira Winderman. Good morning, Ira. How are you doing, my friend?
Good morning, sir. Getting ready for what I thought was going to be a Kyle Lowry reunion game. Instead, it looks like it'll be Bam Day tonight at FTX Arena. Be nice to get Bam back. Be nice to get back on track. Interesting day. Kyle Guy going to be signed to a two-way. So really a busier weekend than I would have thought for the Miami Heat. And wheels still are turning, even at this point in the season.
So let me ask you, the personal reasons, is it just, you know, rest?
No, it's a family issue. It's a family issue that he has to tend to. I've been told he should be back by midweek. So probably just one game. They play the Trailblazers on Wednesday. And then, because we always play Atlanta, we're going back to Atlanta for a Friday game there. Third time in a period of 9 days. Nothing major there. But Big O, again, I've spoken to you all the time and our Acura Pembroke Pines reports about this. The Heat have not had their big three together, Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler, and Bam Adebayo, since November 27th. I want to see what it looks like. I've sort of forgotten, and I think you do need to build continuity, obviously going to the playoffs, Big O, but also even going into the February 10th trading deadline, just to make sure all the pieces work, are gelling together, or if you need to make subtle tweaks. So hopefully sooner rather than later, hopefully this week, we see Lowry, we see Butler, we see Adebayo on the same court in the same lineup for the Miami Heat.
The only reason I asked, because it is the third game in four nights. That's why I thought maybe they were like, because look at Jimmy. Jimmy was out, and then you saw in the second game on the back-to-back against the Sixers, he just wasn't the same player on a back-to-back night. And the whole offense. I mean, the whole offense.
Well, same thing for Kyle. Kyle wasn't the same player. So I think if you were going to hold Kyle out for rest, it would have been on the second night of a back-to-back. What's interesting is this. They have three games left against the Raptors. Every one of those games is the second night of a back-to-back. And wow. Kyle Lowry's first visit back to Toronto is the end of four games in five nights. The NBA doesn't schedule those anymore. But because of the postponed game in San Antonio, when they had to rework the schedule, they did that. So there are some busy times coming up. This is where the depth comes into play. Tonight, Gabe Vincent did not play at all on Saturday. He'll probably be in the starting lineup tonight.
By the way, I laugh because you and I, you know, we've been together for a long time doing this crap. And I laugh when we were talking about fourth and five nights, because all I think of is Ed Kaplan. Because that was the betting game for Ed Kaplan. He always would mention that third game, four nights, he'd say, oh, here's where you can really make some money on the games here, because usually this happens. And you know Ed used to track every single game. He'd write every box score out himself and everything, so it'd be all burned into his mind. You know what I mean? And so when you were talking about that, and yes, that's a gambling game right there.
Oh absolutely. You know, or what we call, you know, as far as the business itself, a scheduled loss. So you have to be careful of those. Again, you and I have been talking for weeks here in our Acura Pembroke Pines reports about the Heat depth. We'll see it tonight. Gabe Vincent has been pretty good this year. Now, as a starting point guard, I don't know, going against Fred VanVleet, but, you know, we'll get an opportunity to see that also. So, again, a lot of guys who might not play otherwise on these back-to-backs, four and five nights, third and four nights, you're going to see a little bit more of that, and that's good for the Heat because this is an older roster.
All right, so now let me go through all of this, because this seems like it ends up becoming there's a little negative, but there's a lot of positive. There's a reason why things happen, and then there's a domino effect to all of this. And I'm talking all about Kyle Guy, because the Garrett kid – we all know that he's offensively a little more challenged. We know he's more of a defensive player, right? So in comes Kyle Guy, lights it up. They love him. They love his moxie, all of that. Okay, so you think about it. Down the line, you hope Oladipo's going to come back. So you're going to add another defensive guy on the perimeter anyways. And then you see the struggles with Duncan now, 43 games into the season. And so now you're going, well, yeah, I know Strus is doing his job and Gabe Vincent is doing his job and Caleb is doing his job. But, man, now look at this Kyle Guy kid. He fell into our laps. And on these nights where, look at what Duncan did in these two back-to-back nights, the Kyle Guys of the world might be the guy that you can reach for deep in the bench to say, hey, we need a little shooting right now. Let's go with Kyle. And then the Garrett thing, he's going to stay anyways because he's got a rehab. Right. He'll switch his contract over to the G League permanently. Right. So you still kind of control everything. So in a way, the it almost feels like dominoes fell right in place for Miami.
Yeah, yeah, I'd agree. A win-win, a win-win situation. There's a couple of things in play here. I'm not sure Duncan Robinson works as a reserve. Again, he had two very good seasons as a starter when he was starting with the main core of this roster. I do think when everyone's back in place, there's a chance Eric Spoelstra at least goes back to that. Because Big O, the last two games, Duncan Robinson scored 2 points. Even in his worst of times, it was never like this. He would give you buckets. He might not shoot a great three-point percentage, but he would give you baskets. That's a concern of mine. On Saturday, January 15th, became the first day of the season he could be traded. Not a big deal, more administrative, but that's the day he becomes free to become dealt. One of the Ask Ira questions I'm working on for tomorrow's mailbag is someone told me, that Duncan Robinson contract, they made a huge mistake. No, and we've spoken about this in our midweek show also. A $15, $16, $17 million contract is right in your wheel. You can package that with other players. It's a tradable contract. Sometimes it's more about the contract than about the player anyway. So you know what? If the right deal comes along, Jeremy Grant for Duncan Robinson, there are possibilities that you might say, maybe we give that a little bit of a thought. That's their tradable contract. No one's taking Kyle Lowry's $85 million three-year deal, or else he would have got that offer somewhere else. He did not. Bam Adebayo, max scale coming off the injury. Jimmy Butler, a contract that's going to pay him until he's 38 years old. You want to have contracts in your wheelhouse. I think the Heat at least need to try to get back to the lineup that got them pretty close to the NBA championship in 2020, give Duncan a run there. Some guys just aren't tuned to be bench players. I think Max Strus can do that. Gabe Vincent can do that. Kyle Guy can do that. So maybe you need to get Duncan back into his sweet spot. Maybe tonight, maybe when Kyle Lowry comes back.
Or maybe Duncan isn't a pressure player. I mean, it's 43 games in. You're shooting 34% from three-point range. You have sucked as a starter. You have sucked off the bench. You have not developed any consistency since you signed that contract. And I'm just wondering, is the contract eating him up like Pac-Man? Because, Ira, if he doesn't respond, that's the optics. The optics are you gave him money and he folded like a cheap tent. And
yeah,
that's
I don't see that in his makeup for this reason. When Hassan Whiteside was putting together double-doubles and telling him no one does it with blocks, he was playing for his contract. At no point did I ever feel Duncan was playing for his contract. He was just playing. And for 2 years, he was terrific. So again, Big O, are you going to believe the 170 straight games he started, or are you going to believe a 40-game sample size?
I don't know. That's the question. I don't know what to believe right now. And he has to, in the next 30-something games, he has to show us.
Oh, I think less than the next 30. I'm going to disagree with the Big O here. I'm going to say in the next 15 or 20, because February 10th is your last chance to make hay this season with the trading deadline. So I'd like to see him come around. So look, if you're saying he's folding under the pressure,
The pressure is
only going to increase as we get closer to the trading deadline. Because you know what? Not only is he here in a winning culture in Miami, he's in Miami. And he's facing the possibility of being in Sacramento or being in Detroit or being in some other cold weather
city. Pressure builds.
The plot thickens. I still think you get him back in that starting line at BC, because there have been too many games in recent years, Big O, where the Heat would start a home game with the Duncan three and it would all be uphill, you know, be all uphill from there in a good position. So I think you need to give it a little bit more time. Can you be concerned? Yes. We are at the point of concern. There's no doubt about that. At the point of panic, I don't think we're there yet.
You know, the funny thing is with Duncan is, dude, we're asking you for one. You only have one job. You only do one thing. You know, it's like with other players at times over the years, wow, man, this guy's really struggling on defense. Okay, but, you know, his offense is all right. Hey, wow, this guy's struggling on offense. Hey, but his defense is all right. It's still there. It's not affecting his defense. And we've seen those kind of players over the years. This dude has one job. one job only, and he can't do his job. And that's the problem that I have with it. And that's where I think over the next few games, we need to find out, dude, are you going to wake up or not? Because you really have to start to worry that he's not responding to expectations. You know, it's kind of like I put on Brian Flores. You know, he took over with, you know, no talent that first year. They won the five games. Okay. Then the next year, they're not expecting much. You win 10. Now you come back. Now you have expectations. And now the pressure's different. Now they're expecting you to produce, and you're not able to do it. And that's where I think what's going on with Duncan now. Now it's the expectations are there now. This is what you're supposed to be, and you're not living up to it.
Well, and the one thing I would add in there, Big O, is this, and especially if you go to the arena and you get a wider view than TV, our opposing defense is still respecting him to the degree that their defense is slanted, that the gravity still goes in that direction. If it does, there's two good things there. One, he's occupying a second defender. But two, other teams respect him to the degree they might want him. They still might respect him as a shooter. When sure. the gravity is lost, that's when you're most concerned. It hasn't happened yet, but I certainly agree if that starts coming and they pay more attention to a Max Strus or someone else, then you got a problem.
And also shows you the flip side of what you just said to play devil's advocate. It also shows you that he doesn't respond to when he becomes a focus player, a guy that, oh, we got to stop him. Now you're not good enough now to overcome that. And that's what shows you when you're a Dale Ellis or a Reggie Miller or a Steph Curry or whatever over the right. years. When you're a great shooter, you're a great shooter, and they know you're going to shoot. And no matter what, you're going to shoot, and it's going to happen. You know, whether you were John Sundvold or not, you knew that he was going to shoot, and he was going to make the shot. That's the threshold.
Well, you know what? By the time we get back from Wednesday, and I'm talking to Clay at 9 a.m. on the Sloman's Home Shield, you know, security show on our Inside the Paint, we might have a different story. It really is game by game. Because you remember the game in Phoenix. He's 8-16 in threes, and all is good in his world. And that's what happens. That's what happens when you're a home run or strikeout player. When you're Giancarlo Stanton, you're either great because you're hitting home runs, or you're getting ripped by the tabloids because you went 0-for-5 and you struck out on breaking balls all the time. That's what happens. The NBA equivalent of a home run hitter is a three-point shooter. It does become game by game. Let's see what happens tonight. We'll talk about it on Wednesday.
By the way, the Kyle Guy thing, really, we were headed there, right? And if not, here's the best part for Kyle Guy. The fact that Miami is known around the world for producing players out of nothing,
right.
All of a sudden, they develop this guy. Eyes all over the league are going, well, wait a minute, dude. The Heat got him. And if the Heat got him and they're developing, he's playing, he's a yes. player. Let's see if they let him go because we're going to scoop him up. I'm sure that all of a sudden, Kyle Guy probably had some interest yes. now lined up after this.
He did, and that's why I'm wondering also, even like you said, Marcus Garrett's undergoing the wrist surgery, and he's going to work with the Heat, but there might be someone come next summer league who even says, you know what, we'll give him a few dollars. We'll give him $50,000. We'll give him $100,000, because if they liked him that much undrafted out of Kansas, maybe we will take a look. Look, at the end of the day, Patrick Beverley got away. At the end of the day, teams took him off the Heat roster also. You can't keep everyone. And when you're in a win-now mode, Big O, with 36-year-old P.J. Tucker, 35-year-old Kyle Lowry, a bunch of 32-year-old guys, you have to live in the moment. In this moment, Kyle Guy does one NBA skill at an elite level with the threes. Marcus Garrett was trending toward his defense, but not there yet. You take the known quantity. That's why they did that. And again, that's your second two-way contract. Your first two-way contract is, I almost wish there was an NBA award two-way contract of the year, because I'm not so sure that anyone would beat out Caleb Martin on that two-way contract.
Yeah. Man, Caleb has been, what a find. Yes.
What energy, what absolute you need when it's all going rough and you have injuries to have a guy like that come in and be the energizer. He's going to be on this team for years to come. I can guarantee
total,
that.
Total Heat player, bro. You can just see it, and that is the kind of guy they salivate for. They give up a first rounder for a guy like that,
right.
actually, to be honest with you. Because now, you know, as I told you last week, I went from, okay, you know, I'm terrified of the Jimmy contract at the back end.
Right.
But I know this year they can make a deep run of the Eastern Conference. And I told you last week, no way. I think this is a championship caliber team with the depth that they have. did they even realize how deep they could become? I don't think so, right?
No, and here's the other thing. With the Kevin Durant injury and the fact he's going to be out 6 weeks till after the All-Star break, most likely, the number one seed is there for the taking for the Miami Heat. Yeah. Yes, they're two games behind the Bulls, but they're 2-0 against the Bulls. Yes, they already played Brooklyn once. They beat them once. They've already, you know, they've taken care of Milwaukee. They've shown that they can beat the Bucks. There's no reason not to think the Heat can win the East. Well, all of a sudden, you're playing a number 8 or 7 seed. It's a lot different than playing Milwaukee in the first round last year. So there's factors in play. Eric Spoelstra really doesn't want to coach the All-Star game in Cleveland on February 20th. There, as a matter of fact, if I say, if you had a choice of either being in Cleveland on February 20th or anywhere else in the world, you take the field. You take anywhere else. So I almost wonder when we get to that early February cutoff point where Eric's going to be as far as maybe half a game out right then, it'll be a little better. And then knowing Spo, if they finish first or second in the East, he'll lament this. We don't know our playoff opponent. We got to wait to the play-in round. We can't prepare ahead of time. There'll always be something. But Big O, the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, with the easiest remaining schedule in the Eastern Conference, it's certainly in their wheelhouse. And Big O, let's be honest, between you and me and Clay Ferraro on a Wednesday show, no one forecast the Heat to be number one in the East this season. Not after that playoff struggle last year. Not after being a number 6 seed. So this is trending in a nice place. Look, it's not the Panthers. They're there. It's theirs to keep. The Heat will have to work to get there. But how crazy is it that down here with our craptastic summer and fall sports, we could wind up with the number one seeds in two different winter sports, and it could happen.
Yeah, the Heat are good. The Panthers are better. It's sick. Our winter sports are just absolutely awesome, and we could have two parades this year. Seriously, we could have two parades for both those teams.
They should have the Heat come up 95 from south of Miami. The Panthers go there and sort of just meet like in the middle, maybe the Aventura Mall or a Gulfstream or something like that. Yeah.
I like that. That's a really good idea right there, man. That'll be a lot of fun. All right. Follow him on Twitter at Ira Heapy. Catch his work at the South Florida Sun Sentinel. More importantly, subscribe like I do. You know, support our local journalists. What are you working on the Sentinel, my friend, leading up to the game?
I have a really fun story because sometimes you get a fun in sports. Before every Heat home game, Anthony Carter and PJ Tucker play this one-on-one game to the death of the two of them. Anthony Carter's 46, but he doesn't take nothing from no one. I talked to both of them about what it's like there. Anthony Carter insists he wins 6 out of every 10 games. PJ Tucker said Anthony Carter must be on drugs if he thinks that. If you get to FTX Arena early, about 45 minutes left in the pregame shot clock, you can watch the two of them go at it. And the reason I wrote the story was this. We know in baseball that pitchers, some old guy will throw batting practice from 60 feet. He'll lob them in there. They'll hit home runs. So I asked Anthony Carter, are you afraid of breaking PJ Tucker's confidence? And he goes, you kidding? People are watching us. I'm going to play the top of my game. I'm telling you, there is blood in those games. So there's a picture at sunsentinel.com. I shot a bunch of photos of them playing pregame. It's a really fun story. Later in the day, I'll have a notebook about what's going on. Heat, Raptors, who's in, who's out. I think Bam will wind up playing tonight. We have to see on some other stuff, minor Heat injuries. So big game coming up. You want the bounce back from Philadelphia. We'll have coverage in tomorrow's Sun Sentinel also. And then when we get back here, Wednesday, 9 o'clock on the Sloman Home Security, Home Shield, Inside the Paint Show, we'll have a better sense if Philly was just a blip. Or if we have concerns, I personally think just a blip.
So do I. I think it's just a blip. I'm with you there. Bob McAdoo used to take everybody's money, so now we got...
That was shooting games. There was no blood in that. In this, there will be blood. Go to sunsentinel.com. I think you'll enjoy it. Thanks, Big O.
Good stuff. Follow him on Twitter at Ira Heapbeat. Ira, thank you as always, my friend. Appreciate it. You got it. He'll be back on Wednesday for the Sloman's Home Security Inside the Paint Show with Clay Ferraro. How about that? We got more stuff coming on the Heat side, too, by the way. We got stuff brewing all over, bro. All over. This thing's going to grow. All right. That was Ira Winderman.